Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a telephone call toll-free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Our phone lines are open. We'd love to hear from you tonight. But also, before I pray, I also want to mention we've got a special guest in studio tonight. We have Chris Hofacker, who has a very unique ministry, Law to Grace Ministries. And we're going to be talking about some things involving church security, personal security, and things like that. And so if you've got questions tonight in regards to church security, maybe you've seen some of the things that have been in the news over the past few months, mass attacks here, shootings, stabbings, and even the church attack down Charleston, South Carolina a couple months ago, this is the man to talk to. This is the man to ask your questions. And so we're going to try and keep our questions a little bit more along the lines of some of these topics here tonight. But you can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. And let's go ahead and open our program this evening with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you so much for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We just pray that you bless the program, use it to glorify Christ and lift up Christ to a lost and dying world. Also, we pray that some of the things we talk about will be a blessing and a help and encouragement to those that are listening tonight. And just use us for your glory, we pray, for it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Well, as I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and let me remind you, you can always visit us at our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. We keep some of our past programs there. You can listen to past programs, have them available as an MP3 file there. Also have some special things that I've done and some audio clips from different things on there in different subject areas and some articles that I've written in the past. You can find all that at livewithpastoral.com. You can also link from there to our Facebook page for our radio program, Live with Pastor Al, and you can follow that link and visit our Facebook page, like us on Facebook, try to keep a number of articles and stuff going on Facebook of different things. But tonight we're concentrating on this issue of church security and safety consciousness, security awareness, I guess you could say it that way. And I've got Chris Hofacker with us tonight. And Chris, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Brother Al. I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, that's great to have you. And I think before we get into much of our subject matter tonight, it'd be good if you could give us a little background, where you come from and how you happen to have this rather unique and I say sadly needed because it is needed, but it's sad that it is needed, this unique and very needed ministry here today.
Well, I was a Sandusky police officer for 25 years and served as a police lieutenant, patrol division commander at the time of my retirement. God called me out into full-time ministry, into evangelism. While I was in law enforcement, however, I ran a couple of mixed martial arts schools. I also worked for the Ohio Attorney General's office as a use of force expert and defensive tactics instructor as a trainer at Ohio Peace Officer Training Academy down in London, Ohio. So when God called me out into evangelism, of course, we surrendered right away to do that. Left the job to go full-time into the Lord's service. And we used also the experience that we had in those other areas to try to assist churches with the need in church security today and those types of issues. So.
And you have quite a varied background there in law enforcement and a lot of experience there, which you bring to bear in helping churches today, helping churches to understand the complex issue. We were talking before the program started, you know, in some places, you know, many states we have concealed carry permits, and we were talking about different things. You know, we don't want people to just go guns blazing like the old West or something when they perceive some kind of threat, real or imagined. There has to be be some sense about this, and it's what you try to help churches to understand and help Christians to understand. And this is important because, you know, sadly, we live in an era where this is necessary. You were sharing some statistics before we went on the air and about incidences that have taken place. Why don't you share some of those statistics with our listeners?
Well, the numbers might be alarming to some, but there's a fellow by the name of Carl Chin who used to work, or maybe still does, for Focus on the Family. And some years back, 1996, he was serving there as an engineer, and there was a gunman that had come into Focus on the Family's ministries and held some people hostage, and he responded there. And it got his attention and made him start to think about these issues a little bit more. He said he never really imagined such things would be something that we'd be facing today. But he wrote a book called Evil Invades Sanctuaries, and he made the case for security in religious organizations, and he's gathered some statistics, and on some of the research I've done myself, I find the statistics to be very accurate. He says that from the years of 1999, beginning in January 1st, 1999, through as current as May of this year, there's been as many as 1,018 deadly force incidents. That means encounters in which deadly force could have been used or was, right, in some cases used. As a matter of fact, in about 549 of those cases, deadly force was used. So this is an issue that we certainly are facing in this country today. He also goes into breaking it down to show that the three biggest areas or reasons why these things occur, or the generally accepted known attack triggers, if you will, would be domestic violence disputes within a church. Mm-hmm. And of course, we know that pastors do a lot of marriage counseling. So that's always a door that's opened up for some kind of violence where one party or the other within that marriage doesn't feel the pastor did the job well enough, and so they'll blame the preacher. There's also personal conflict, which is second on the list. Those are non-domestic related people. And then there's robbery. So those are the top three areas in which we find ourselves facing these deadly force incidents within our churches. But
And we sure don't like to think of this happening, but like you said, we're dealing with people oftentimes going through troubling situations. You know, anybody who's been through marriage problems, it's difficult. Emotions are running high, and almost invariably, I heard a lawyer saying one time that they didn't like being involved in those sorts of cases because no matter what you do, somebody thinks they've been wronged, and especially in our society today, where it just seems like self-restraint has been done away with. There's no self-restraint on people's behavior. People just do whatever they think that they want to do, and it's just the devil gets his hand in there, and we have these problems. And is this affecting any one particular denomination or church, or how's it across the board?
Well, when you look at the statistics as far as denominational breakdown, you'll find that every denomination is affected in one way or another. It's kind of amazing. I was reading the statistics, and I myself happen to be a Baptist, but we were on the top of the list. So 227 of the incidents that I mentioned were attributed to the Baptist denomination, and it drops down from there to 219 for non-denominational and 148 for Catholic, and keeps going on down the list.
Right. Well, so, and when you kind of think about that, they list Baptists all together, Southern Baptist, Independent Baptist, Northern or American Baptist,
sure,
all the different Baptist types. And the Southern Baptists are the largest non-Catholic denomination. And when you throw in the rest of us, I'm an independent, as are you.
Yes.
And we throw in these us independents along with some of the others like the American Baptists and things like that. You can see where Baptists make up the largest portion of non-Catholic churches in the United States. So and probably all together, we may outnumber the Catholics, really, if you think about it. But you can see where it's in there. But if you think about it, in terms of the counseling that goes on, we were talking about Bible counseling earlier this evening. And, you know, in the Baptist churches in particular, and it is interesting, the non-denominationals were the next largest. And a lot of the non-denominationals tend to be a little more biblically oriented than some other groups, too. I know there's obviously exceptions in all these things. But, you know, we're trained to use the Bible and to say, well, you know, I know you might not agree with this, but this is what the Bible says.
Right.
And I was sharing how one time I was preaching in Acts chapter 4 where it says that they're talking about Jesus saying that there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I said, we like to be, you know, welcoming and inclusive and all that. But I said, this is a very intolerant narrow-minded statement.
Yes.
And so when you're a Bible-oriented person like you are, like I am, I would hope that the majority of Baptists would be in a great many of the non-denominationals, we try to use the Bible, and even though it may step on toes, we know that the Bible's going to offend some people. We know it's going to step on some toes. It's going to make division sometimes, and sometimes the truth hurts. So what was it Paul said? Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And it could be that maybe that's why. Instead of saying, well, you know, you're both partially right, we say, no, listen, this is wrong. This is a sin that caused this problem in your marriage or something like that. People don't always like to hear that today, no. Do they?
I don't think they like to today any more than they did back when Jesus was here.
Yes, exactly.
You know, he spoke about being the way, the truth, and the life in John 14:6. And of course, we know he is. That doesn't settle real well. The truth doesn't settle well as a whole. That's why we've got so many people trying to change our Bible today, because they don't like the truth. They want to make it more fitting to their lifestyle. So
something more palatable to the
certainly,
unsaved person.
Everybody's interested in being politically correct, and we're adamant about being biblically correct. And so we don't go into a counseling session necessarily in a domestic, for example, where we're trying to make both sides feel good about themselves. We go into it and say, this is what God's word says. If the woman in a marriage will do her part and the husband in the marriage will do his part, then everything will work out fine. But until they do, there's going to be chaos and problems.
Right. Well, and also, having been a law enforcement officer, I've heard that said that domestics are usually some of the worst calls to go out on, aren't they?
Yeah, they are, and they're probably our number one call. Handle more domestics probably than any other calls that we get on a regular basis, and they're very dangerous calls. But they're growing, and I think it has to do a lot with the internet and with the access to the internet, cell phones and computers, and people get on the social networks now, and they find old boyfriends or old girlfriends, and next thing you know, or somebody they've never met before who appeals to them, and next thing you know, they're leaving a spouse, and so it causes all kinds of problems in the home.
Well, and like I said, from law enforcement perspective, you see the trouble that domestic calls have, and it's no different when you get into the ministry. Those types of things are a lot harder than, well, my son is getting ready to graduate and he's struggling whether he should go into the ministry or whether he should be a doctor or a lawyer or you know, what God's will for his life is. That's not a counseling matter that's fraught with a great deal of heavy emotion as opposed to, like you just said, my husband or my wife met an old flame online and now they're leaving me and, oh, you know, I'm so upset and he's upset and everything's in an uproar. And so when that emotion comes in, the devil tries to push these things along. And so, you know, just like the police officer that shows up at the height of the argument, you become the bad guy because you're trying to sort things out. The pastor becomes a bad guy because he's trying to sort things out. And the next thing you know, there's violence of some sort.
Well, it has to be somebody else's problem. We're in a society of no accountability.
Yes.
So when we don't want to take accountability,
it must be yours.
Certainly have to point the finger somewhere, so it must be the pastor. Yeah. If he'd have counseled you the way I wanted him to, everything would be all right.
Exactly. I think every pastor's probably been through stories like that. But so as a result, we're going to have problems in our churches. And that's one series. And then, of course, we have, I guess for lack of a better definition, those people who are just plain mentally deficient in some sense. That kid that went into that church in Charleston a few months ago, you know, mental problems.
Sure.
And hate-filled things like that. And the devil uses that. And he's going to attack churches, he's going to attack Christians, he's going to try and destroy ministries. And if he can inspire somebody to try something like that, and that's something we have to contend with these days. And then there's the threat of, you know, quite frankly, terrorist attacks.
Sure. Well, I think on the issue before we get on terrorism, I think the issue with the mental instability, of course, you know, there's always been those types of issues, just that violence is more prevalent today, I think, than ever because of 100 various reasons we could speak of. But the news media doesn't help anything. And, you know, you look at the numbers, like we said with the Baptists, we're made to look like we're haters because we preach against sin. We're made to look like we hate the sinner. You know, and there's the news media just eats that up. So we look like we're a bunch of intolerant people that just don't love anybody, when in essence, we love them all. And God died for every one of the people out there. It's the sin that we hate. It's the sin we stand against and not the sinner. But it gets twisted.
And a lot of people don't see that because you do not like the sin that somebody's involved in, they think, well, then you don't like me.
Right.
And, of course, then that causes the potential for escalation into some other areas. And so we've got that going on. And as I started to mention as well, there's simply terrorism.
Sure.
We don't like to think terrorism happens in America, but I know from my time in the Air Force that terrorism happens in America more than what people realize. And we were talking earlier at church today about this guy out in California that went and stabbed a bunch of people at, I think it was the University of California in Merced. And he had a two-page manifesto praising Allah. And the police out there, the police chief said, oh, we really don't know why he did it. It had nothing to do with Islam, but we just don't know why he did it. And you've got groups like the Islamic State telling people in America to commit attacks. And I even saw an article yesterday where they had a video out telling people to set up roadside bombs in America and all. And by and large, we've not had to deal with that sort of thing in America. We've not had to deal with, like in Pakistan, where people will go by where a church is meeting and lob a grenade into the church during the middle of services. We've not had to deal with those things, but it's not something that's impossible. It's not something that may not happen. And so we touched on some of the problems here, and I guess that's where your ministry comes in, doesn't it? What do you do to help churches with things like this?
Well, what we really want to be able to do to start off with is to prevent issues from taking place. So when we do a training session with church, we'll help them to identify possible trouble areas. We'll go into a church and evaluate the building, for example, talk about lockdowns and those types of things. And we try to discuss with them how to handle situations first verbally and then escalating all the way through to the different types of force that may be used all the way up to and including deadly force. We really try to emphasize there is a lot of people in churches today that have CCW permits, like you mentioned earlier.
Right.
There's very little training done in the, I'm a CCW instructor myself, there's very little training done in when to use and not to use force. It's touched on, but it needs to be gone into and dealt with a little more in depth. So we cover that as well. The last thing we want, again, is somebody that, that isn't in complete control of their emotions and is thinking that they're living out a movie in front of them. So we don't want that gun being fired. There's innocence all around in a situation in a church. And so we deal with those things. And about every area you can imagine, how to deal with a situation if something does occur, you know, how to deal with press, how to, you know, how to document things, because we believe in document keeping reports. We're not trying to hide anything from anybody. And so we, we'll document everything. We just try to cover about every gambit you can think of and help people understand that, you know, you're representing the Lord Jesus Christ in everything you do. And if you have to take a life, that it may be somebody who is not saved, is not born again, and you've just sent a soul to hell, and that's, you know, we want to do everything we can to preserve life.
Right.
But if it's a situation of my pastor, somebody walks in to shoot my pastor, I'm not going to allow that to happen. Or, you know, to shoot a church member, my family member, I'm going to stand and do protecting.
Absolutely. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And if you want to get in a conversation here tonight, maybe you've got a question. I'm talking with Chris Hofacker of Law to Grace Ministries. And what is your website?
It is, even though our ministry is called Law to Grace Ministries, the website is lawandgrace.org. Lawandgrace.org. Lawandgraceministries.org.
Okay, and I'm going to get that linked onto our website at livewithpastoral.com as well. But we're talking about security and churches and things like that today. And if you want to get in on the conversation, maybe you've got a question for our guest, Chris Hofacker of Law to Grace Ministries, you can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And we look at this, and a lot of times people say, well, wait a minute, we're supposed to be men of God, men and women of God, children of God. We're not called to violence. How do you respond to something like that?
Well, certainly it's never should be our first choice. Even as a police officer, even I think even somebody who's lost and doesn't know Christ, it always has got to be your last option. We talk about deadly force. But the Bible is not against the use of such force when it's necessary, when there's a time for it. You have to go back to even Luke chapter 22. When Jesus talks to his disciples about there being a day to sell the script and to purchase swords. And, you know, we're definitely living in what the Bible describes as perilous times or dangerous times. Those times are upon us now. We don't look for opportunities to use violence, but we prepare ourselves to be ready if we need to. do such a thing. The Bible's pretty clear. I like, we were talking earlier before the show in Exodus chapter 22, and that's right. A very good portion of scripture to talk about the use of force when it comes to protecting oneself or in self-defense type issues. And in Exodus chapter 22 and verse number 2, it says, "If a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him." In other words, if he's caught in the act, he's in your home, he's there, he's broke in, he's doing the act, and you catch him and in defending yourself and your property, that he loses his life, there's no should be no penalty against the person then that owned the home. But it goes on to say that if the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him, for he should make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. So in other words, you can't take vengeance on somebody after the fact. It's while you're in the law states very clearly, you must be in imminent physical danger. In other words, immediate physical danger in order to act in such a way that you could use force against somebody. After the fact.
Yeah, sort of the difference between self-defense and vigilantism.
Exactly what it is. It's if we get that concept, then you'll have a better understanding of use of force as a whole. We're not the police, and so we don't go out and try to enact the laws on ourselves or enforce the laws on our own. It's only while it's, again, immediate physical harm. And whether it's deadly force or some other physical force depends on the level of aggression that's being used against you as an individual. And we never use, even if it's a use of deadly force, your purpose in using deadly force is never to take a life anyways. If you have to, for example, if you'd have to use a firearm against somebody, your only intent is to stop them from doing whatever action it is that they're doing that's causing you to react in this manner. So, for example, if you'd have to shoot somebody or shoot at them and one shot would stop them, or they'd leave and they'd run out the door, while they're running out the door, you don't shoot them again and again while they're retreating, while they're leaving, then you're no longer in imminent harm. They're not attacking anyone.
I can't chase them down the street.
Cannot do that. No. If it's a physical assault and somebody's physically attacked you, they punched you or they're aggressive and grabbed you, and you hit them once and they fall to the ground and they throw their hands up and give up or stop or take off, you can't kick them and jump on top and start beating them down, or chase them down the street and tackle them and start beating them some more.
Right.
It's no longer imminent physical harm because they're trying to leave. They're trying to retreat. So
the goal then is to protect yourself, protect your family or other innocents.
Right.
And
to stop them.
Yes. So if you're in your house at night, you hear somebody break the window, you know, in your house in the middle of the night, and you hear people come in and they see you and they run out the door, you cannot fire out the window at them or anything like that because they've left.
Right.
But like you said here in Exodus chapter 22, you're sitting there in the middle of the night, and let's say that you're a night owl like you are and I am, and maybe you've just turned off the lights and you're still awake and you're possibly heading to bed, or maybe you're doing a little prayer or devotional or something before you go to bed, and somebody breaks through the window and you're sitting there, you can defend yourself right then because that's an imminent threat.
Certainly. Somebody's coming in, somebody's attacking, coming towards you or a family member.
Or you wake up, somebody's in your bedroom, or you hear a noise and somebody's in your child's bedroom.
Certainly.
These are imminent threats.
Yes.
And all. We have a caller calling in here, I guess, and we'll get them on in just a minute here. And a reminder that this is a live program. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll be on until midnight tonight. And we have Nancy calling in. And Nancy, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. I just wanted to ask Pastor Hofacker some questions about, like for myself and other people living alone, to protect themselves. I've been debating, you know, possibly taking a concealed weapon carry course and then maybe getting a gun that I could use. I mean, I really don't like the idea of shooting, but I'm just wondering, would he recommend that for somebody living alone in case somebody breaks in the house? Now, I've heard that we're supposed to have the right to bear arms in case the government comes against us, but I don't think I could ever defend myself if some government agents came in. But I'm thinking just about burglars or somebody like that. And then also some people have recommended using wasp spray. You know, they say it goes 20 feet. that you can spray it in somebody's eyes, or perhaps pepper spray, or these panic buttons on your remote for your car. If you push the panic button, it'll... I just wondered what he thought about some of these self-defense mechanisms if somebody breaks in your house.
Some good questions.
Well, thanks for calling, first of all, Nancy. To address that the best I can, you asked several questions there, so let me try to address the firearm situation. First of all, I recommend that anybody in this country opts to their right to at least go through the course and take a CCW class. It doesn't mean you have to carry a gun. Doesn't mean you ever have to use a gun. But you have that right now being given to you. You ought to take full advantage of it, I think, while we have it. And whether you ever buy a gun or not doesn't matter. But if you run into a situation later on, then you have the right already to carry. You don't have to wait about going through the class or waiting to get a permit. You're already set to go.
Is that something you have to take the class every year, or is it just a one-time thing and then you have the permit, you got to pay each year for it? Or
you take the class, which the state recently dropped from 12 hours to 8 hours.
Okay.
2 hours of it is on a range shooting. The other six is in a classroom setting. And it's you take it one time, you get the permit. The permit's good for 5 years.
Oh, okay.
So, and you go to the sheriff's office to apply for that once you've taken the class.
Okay.
They do a very thorough background check, and so that there's not guns getting out to people that shouldn't have them. But I certainly recommend it. As far as your non-lethal weapon options, such as you mentioned, the spray, and you know, whether it be wasp or pepper spray or whatever the case may be, all of those things have some merit to them and are good. But again, with pepper spray, even at 20 feet, that's closer than you might think somebody's come into you. When you got somebody 20 feet away, they can close that gap very, very quickly. And if they put their hand up in front of their face and you end up spraying them in the hand, they end up getting a hold of that pepper spray. They can use that against you just as well. There's tasers, there's stun guns. But again, the stun gun is a close option. You've got to be right on top of somebody to use it. And to be honest with you, the only way that you're going to stop somebody that would break in your house with a gun is with a gun. Brother Al's giving me a sign here. I need to stop for a minute. So,
Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We were talking with Nancy there in the first half, and we'll get back to Nancy and her question here in just a moment. But just a reminder that you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. As you heard there, we have that information at the end of the program. But let me encourage you to visit us at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can find this program there eventually, as well as past programs there that you can listen to and some other materials that are there. Also, that links to our Facebook page for Live with Pastor Al. And I invite you to like us on Facebook and follow us there. We have a number of things, try to keep a number of articles about different subject areas and all things we talk about on the program and other stuff there on our Facebook page. So you can find all that as well as links to our home church at livewithpastoral.com. And of course, we're talking with evangelist Chris Hofacker tonight of Law to Grace Ministries, and we're going to get right back into that in just a moment. Again, a quick reminder about East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio. And if you're in northeastern Ohio, stop in. They're located at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. That's East Coast Pizza, pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. If you're not in northeastern Ohio or in northeastern Ohio as well, you'd like to get into the pizza business yourself or maybe add pizza to an existing restaurant that you have, you know, you don't have to be in northeast Ohio to do that. You can be in Florida, North Carolina, wherever you might be. You can give East Coast Pizza a call at 216-341-9100 and ask for Gus. He can help you get started in your own pizza shop, not a franchise, but your own pizza business for a whole lot less than what you might think possible. That's East Coast Pizza, 216-341-9100. All right, we're going to get back to our program again. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events, or especially tonight, a question for our guest, Chris Hofacker of Law to Grace Ministries. We're talking about security and being security aware in the perilous times in which we live in today. Talking about use of force, either for personal safety protection or that in our church settings, and we're going to be talking about some more of that in this half hour. We were talking with Nancy prior to the break, and Nancy had brought up a couple of questions, one about concealed carry and also about using pepper spray, wasp spray, something like that. And I believe Nancy had a third question as well. Nancy, are you still there?
Yes, Pastor Al.
What was the third part of your question there?
Do you think that using the panic button on your remote for
there
your car, would that be effective? I've heard a couple of people on the radio saying that that can sort of scare a burglar away, even if the key is like 20 or 30 or 40. I don't know how many feet it is effective, because it's the noise from the car that is supposed to scare the burglar away. Have you heard how effective that is, using a remote key that has a panic button?
All of the things you mentioned, including the panic button, are options. There's nothing wrong with any of them individually. It's the noise thing is definitely a factor when somebody breaks in a house or a building. I can't stand these silent alarms that some businesses will put on.
Right.
What you want is something that's loud, very audible, something that is going to get the attention of people around. A burglar, somebody break in your house, the last thing they want is attention drawn to the area that they're at. So a lot of times it'll scare them off and spook them. So it can be effective. It's just going to depend on what the intent of the person is. You know, if they're high on drugs, there's a lot of factors that could come into play. But I would say, just before the break, I had started to mention to you that no matter what you use, you have to understand, if somebody breaks in your house with a gun or with an edged weapon, a knife or something along that line, really the only way to stop those things, unless you've trained for years and years and are right on top of somebody and have opportunities, and a lot of things have to fall in place, the only way to stop a gun assault is with a gun. I mean, the bottom line. And really with an edged weapon, it's pretty much the same way. Even a person who studied martial arts their whole life, if somebody pulls a knife on them, I wrote the Edge Weapon Defense Program for the state of Ohio, Ohio Peace Officers Training Academy when I was there. And I'm telling you, with my experience and everything else, you might as well figure if somebody pulls a knife on you, even with all that training, you're going to get cut. You're going to have a long night. So for most people, you don't even want to. You don't want to attempt that. We teach officers, if somebody's got a knife, you pull it. You pull the firearm, the edged weapon or the gun. The only way to really defend yourself properly is with the firearm.
Okay, now what about taking out a burglar? Say, you know, if I had a gun that wasn't loaded, I hadn't taken the concealed carry weapons course, but is that ever effective, like to just take out, you know, like to hold a gun that's not even loaded? And pointed at the person, does that ever work, or do you have any statistics?
I don't like the idea of it for a couple of reasons, and the biggest one is if that person has a gun and you pull a gun out and get a drop on them and they see you've got a gun, then they may pull theirs and shoot you, thinking they're defending themselves against you, and you can't return fire.
That's a good point, yeah.
I want you to understand, though, you can't own a firearm in your house without having gone through a CCW class. Anybody in this country can own a firearm and have it in their home. You just can't carry it without that permit. But you have a right to have a firearm in your house with or without a class.
Okay, that's good to know. Yeah, and do you happen to have a list of various stores or organizations that you would recommend to take concealed carry permit? I mean, on your website, I know of a couple of places. I just wondered if you recommended.
Because I do CCW classes myself, I don't really recommend a whole bunch of other people doing
it. Where do you
do them myself. So,
where do you have your classes?
Well, I'll usually get with the church and see if they can get a few people together that are interested. Then we'll go and conduct it, you know, with a group of several people at a time. And so,
well, that's interesting. So, just generally with a church.
Well, normally I do it in the secular field as well, but my biggest ministry is to the churches, and so.
So did those wasp sprays? Are they effective? Some people say they will go 20 feet. You know, you get these, you know, atomizers, wasp sprays, that they will go 20 feet, and you can blind the person in their eye. What would you think would be better, the wasp spray or the pepper spray? Which do you think would be more effective?
I've never done personally done a study on the two side by side to be able to give you a real educated answer on that. Either one of them, I'm sure, can be effective. But again, there's a lot of things that can come into factor and into play when you're using a spray like that. If the person dips their head, if they put their hand up, if the nozzle isn't pointed directly at them, it could be off to a side. I've honestly seen people that have had that nozzle turned backwards in the state of the moment and pushed the button and sprayed themselves or sprayed somebody next to them they didn't mean to spray. Things can happen when you're in the heat of a moment like that.
Well, that's Murphy's law. Whatever can go wrong will go wrong.
I just got another idea just thinking about all these things. You said the noise factor is important. What about, would we have access to getting a whistle, like a police whistle, or something comparable to something the police use that's really, really loud? Because that could really scare a burglar away, couldn't it, if you had a really loud whistle?
Sure. You could buy a whistle at any police supply store. A whistle is a whistle. I know that the police whistles are, people think, are a whole lot louder. You know, they're made to get attention to traffic and stuff. But you can buy a good whistle anywhere that sells whistles. It's not something you got to have a special permit to have or be a cop to get one. So
the public can go into a police supply store that's not limited to police?
No, you could go and buy a whistle. They'll sell a whistle to anybody. There's no special criteria for a police whistle.
Okay, well, thank you. This is very helpful. I really appreciate all your insight on this. Thank you. And you come to our church, Bible Baptist Temple. I remember you very well.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for calling.
Okay.
God bless you and stay safe.
God bless.
Thank you, Nancy. I appreciate your call tonight. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. If you've got a question for our guest tonight, Chris Hofacker with Law to Grace Ministries, and we're talking about personal safety, and we're going to be talking a little bit more about church safety as well. And you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we talked a bit about personal safety there, but let's move it around a little bit more towards church safety. If you think about it, because one of the challenges I think for churches is, you know, we want by very nature of what we are to be welcome and open to the public. We want strangers to come into our services. We want people to wander in that we don't know. That presents a unique challenge, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And I think that, again, We with security teams, they're there for the purpose of making you feel safe while you're there. We do have a responsibility as well, not just to the community, but to our people, to make sure they can feel safe when they're in the church house. I've never looked at security personnel as being a problem to somebody that's coming in for the right reasons. The only people that they're going to bother are going to be people who are planning on coming in and causing a problem, you know.
Right.
And that's the type of people you want to deter anyways. Mm-hmm. We certainly want to get people in the church. We certainly want them. And so that's why I recommend that you, when we train our security personnel, we train them to be very personable. We train them in some verbal skills. We teach them how to approach people. We want to look non-threatening, non-intimidating. It's more of a welcome factor. You can feel safe here and your family can feel safe here. So we definitely take those things into consideration.
Yeah, we got a caller calling in, and before we take the call, I was going to share, when I left England, when I was stationed there in the Air Force, I had a rather interesting circumstance, because there in the late 1980s, the Irish Republican Army was in the midst of a bombing campaign in England, and I was leaving Stapleton Airport there outside of London, and I was a single man in my 20s, traveling on a one-way ticket, unaccompanied, back to the States on an international flight. What did I just look like? And so this young woman came up and started talking to me. You know, real friendly. Oh, hi, how are you? Where are you going? How long have you been in England? Oh, and I knew she wasn't talking to me just because she said, oh, look at this nice young man. I want to get to know him. No, she was profiling me because I was a single, unaccompanied young man. I fit the profile for an Irish Republican Army bomber. And so she was trying to figure out who I was or what I was doing, why I was flying unattended on a one-way ticket. And when she found out that I was an American service member returning back to the States, then it was, oh, well, okay, well, have a safe flight. You know, thanks. I hope you enjoyed your time here in Britain. So, you know, that was a very non-threatening, very pleasant encounter.
Certainly.
It's just like what you're saying. You train people.
She was trained that way.
Yeah, exactly. So not come up and, you know, right away get in my face and demand, you know, things to make me defensive or anything.
That's right.
And be able to find out what's going on. And I agree with that, having been on the receiving end of that myself. Well, we've got Frank in West Virginia calling in. And Frank, welcome to the program tonight.
Good evening.
Good evening. Welcome.
Good show. Caught this by accident, so I don't know if you covered the biblical use of force in the New Testament.
We touched on it a little bit, but go ahead, bring up the subject for us again.
Okay, well, this is something I really sought the Lord after as a believer, and over 10 times I counted the other day that my life was actually, you know, I've been assaulted with life-threatening force,
mm-hmm.
Tried to actually murder me. I know it sounds like crazy, but it's the truth. Even three men in the middle of the night, you know, I'm sleeping in bed, you know.
Right.
Like, stuff like that normally doesn't have to be shot at, knives, all kinds of stuff. But anyhow, so the Lord gave me some answers, I believe. In Luke 22:36, I'm sure you've addressed that or at least have studied that. I'll just read it quickly. It says, "Then said he unto them," this is Jesus speaking, mm-hmm. "But now he that hath a purse, let him take it, likewise his scrip, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy him."
Right.
Buy one.
Right.
I've asked the teachers what that meant, and I found the context is, "For I say unto you, that this that is written must be accomplished in me, and he was reckoned," now he's quoting from the Old Testament, "and he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end." And that's from the King James. Now this is referring to, of course, the crucifixion. He's going to be reckoned amongst what? Two thieves, the two transgressors. They're on either side on the crosses.
Certainly.
He's going to be accused as being a transgressor, but he's going to die for the sins of the world rather than establishing his kingdom. Now, when he does establish his kingdom, of course, we can take his swords, his guns, whatever, and put him into something useful like a plowing instrument, you know, but for now, it's a violent, wicked world.
Yes, it is.
So what I've read into that, though, is, and I've also trained in a number of martial arts and a problem, and found that the weapons are pretty much, other than the intimidation factor, they aren't of much use without training. And I believe that he was actually mm-hmm. implying that, even though it's pretty condensed right here. You look at the other passages in the Bible. Training in the use of such weapons is very valuable. And I always recommend to my students, I said, look, you do what you can at this point. We all start at the same level. You don't have to have any skill level, but you want to grow. You want to continue. And so I recommend people becoming proficient at something they enjoy, otherwise, and something they can carry with them. Would you agree with that? Because if they don't have it with them, they can have a 30-06 rifle, you know, great caliber, and you know, if it's not with them other than hunting season, it won't do any good to defend them.
Chris, go ahead.
I've always said a weapon's only an extension of your own body anyways. And yes, training is very, very important. And I always have recommended, I ran a couple mixed martial arts schools. You didn't hear at the beginning of the show. That's why I'm bringing that up again. And my students, I always taught the empty hand aspect of things first and foremost. That's what we focused on. That's what we dealt with most of the time, because that's something you always have with you. It's interesting in the portion of Scripture, and we did mention and talk about that in there in Luke chapter 22 a little earlier in the show. But it is interesting to note that when the Lord is talking there in verse number 38, and they said, Lord, behold, there are two swords. I've always found it very interesting that they didn't have to go out and purchase swords. Here's the apostles with Jesus Christ, and he talks about if there's swords, and they say, we've got two right here. So did they always have those swords somewhere around them all the time, or were they there kept near where they met all the time? What those swords were there. They were already to go. So again, I don't think Christ was obviously not against the use of force or against the use of weapons, or by now he would have had those cleared out of that place. They wouldn't have been hanging around there. So,
right.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's a great point. I appreciate that insight. And that's typical of that era of, and if I understand the history right, that was actually an illegal action by non-Romans to have that type of weapon, the Machairon sword.
They must have been carrying concealed, I guess.
So. Well, good point. You know, there was a lot of things going on, but the fact is that, you know, there's the doctrine of competing harms, where in a nutshell says that if you have two different threats, I mean, you have to deal with a threat that is most imminent and in an appropriate way. Unfortunately, we have a government that was much like Rome, and that they are there to take the place of the Father, take the place of God's established representatives of protection in society, and set up themselves. Example, very brief. I was shot at once, just going fishing, from somebody with a rifle up on a hill or a cliff above me. Buddy and I just dropped our tackle, what we had, took off running in zigzag pattern, got out of there. Fortunately, we're not hit, okay? Don't ask us why we're shot. I don't know to this day, but or shot at. Told a police officer about it. He said, look, I'm gonna have to buy a firearm. This is when I was pretty young. I said, I'd like to get a handgun just so I can take it, you know, on my hikes or fishing, so at least I have a little self-defense. He threatened to arrest me. Now, I couldn't understand it at the time, but he told me to get a bulletproof vest. I said, look, I've been shot at. This isn't the first time. I'm not in a bad neighborhood.
Right.
But I realized, though, that he was of a mindset that not all of them are. Because, well, police officers are very strong Second Amendment supporters.
Yes.
You know, but then there's those that want you to depend upon the government as their daddy. And if you don't go to them, you know, it's like call 911 and die. And I say, no. You deal with your threat, you know, and if you can get to the phone immediately, okay. But, you know, if you're being choked out and somebody's getting a knife at you, you know, you deal with that threat, not worry about, okay, what's the procedure now? Because there's just way too much stress. You got to save your life or your family, and you can deal with the aftermath because they're not going to show up right away.
No. No, there's always not just the call, whether you can make a call, but there's always going to be response time. There's only so many of them, and the way the system works anymore, we're losing officers right and left, and so there's less and less of them to do more and more work. The crime rate rises, but the number of officers we have decreases, and so we're expecting them to be everywhere at one time. You're right. We do have a right to defend ourselves, And I mentioned to the last caller, the only way you can really defend against a gun or a knife, unless somebody's foolish or gets real close, the only, and you have a lot of training, is with a gun. So it is the only way to really defend properly.
Yeah, Frank, I'm going to have to interject in here because we're running low on time. I do have another caller calling in. And I wanted to thank you for your call here tonight. And again, you did bring up the idea of the mindset that we have to have. I think we need to be prepared as, you know, men and women of God to defend those around us and watch out for those around us. But there has to be some training and everything as well, like you and Chris have brought out. And I want to thank you for that right there. Appreciate your call there tonight, Frank. I'm going to have to get moving on here before we run out of time here tonight, but appreciate the call there tonight. Hope you'll give us another call as well later on. We're on every Sunday night from 11 until midnight, and we try to talk about various things in regards to the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. So thank you for the call there tonight, Frank. And I want to thank our other callers tonight, too, before we run out of time. I believe we lost our other caller there who had called in, but we still got just a moment here, 888-677-9673. But before we ended up, I wanted to do a couple of things. First off, Chris Hofacker, your website again and your ministry.
It is lawandgraceministries.org. And we specialize, well, first of all, I'm an evangelist, so God called me out of law enforcement to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's what we do. But to assist churches, we also help churches start security teams, hold CCW classes, and work along those issues as well, based on the experience I have from law enforcement for over 25 years.
And your home church?
It is Beacon Baptist Church in Lorain, Ohio. My pastor is Aaron Webb.
And we're certainly glad that they have the willingness to support a unique ministry like you out of their church. Also wanted to mention, we've got Veterans Day coming up this Wednesday, November 11th, 11th hour, the 11th day, 11th month. And that's Veterans Day coming up. And we honored our veterans at church today. We're a small church, and we found it kind of amazing that our church, we have close to 75% of the men in our church are veterans, and that's kind of a high percentage, I think, even for any church, but we're a small church. And I want to thank those of you out there that have served, and there's a great verse, and you use it as part of the basis of your ministry in Psalm 144:1. Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. You know, we've been talking about your career as law enforcement, and of course, law enforcement officers, they're charged by God, really, bear not the sword in vain, as Romans 13 says.
Yes.
The sword is deadly force, and not to use it in vain to protect the innocent,
right,
and to bring justice to evildoers. And so law enforcement protects our community. The military, very similar role, but on a national scale. The military, their purpose is to protect the country, the nation, from evildoers, and they don't bear the sword in vain either. And in each case, whether law enforcement or the military, God is our strength. It's God that teaches our hands to war and our fingers to fight.
That's right.
That's not pacifistic, is it?
No, not at all.
You know, that's God wants us to be smart about this, though, and you have a tremendous ministry there. And so I want to thank all of our law enforcement officers out there. I know we have
Certainly.
Some that listen, and, you know, people underappreciate you. My brother-in-law just retired after about 26 years as a law enforcement officer, just retired this past week, I believe. And it's a risky business, and very similar to veterans in many respects. And you certainly have our respect. And again, I want to acknowledge our veterans here, Veterans Day, Wednesday, November the 11th. And I want to thank God for you and your service. And wherever it might have been, peacetime or wartime, it doesn't matter. You served so that we have the freedom to do exactly what we're doing today. Less than 10 seconds. Thanks, Chris, for being on with us tonight.
Thank you.
Thanks to all of our listeners and our callers. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.